Okay, we're in Perek Dalet in Hilchos Bechoros, and the Rambam's going to talk about a bunch of things, but the two major things. Number one is going to be issues regarding ownership, partners whether the Bechor is owned by a non-Jew, etc. The second part is going to be dealing with at what point is the animal considered a Bechor, certain cases of different cases of births of animals. Okay, Alach Aleph. Behemos HaShutfen Chayeves Bechora. So let's say two people co-own an animal. So the chiyuv b'chor exists, lo nemar b'karcha b'tzimcha, elamait, but when it says your, for instance, cattle, that's only coming to exclude shutfus hanachri. So it's if I'm a partner with a Jew, I'm still chayv in b'chor. But if I'm partner with a guy, then it changes. She'imaya shutaf b'para obe ubar. Let's say I'm partner with a non-Jew, with a cow, or let's say a fetus. Afilu hayo nachri echa me'elef be'emo b'vlad. Let's say the non-Jew in this partnership only owns like 1/1000th of the animal. Hareza pata min b'chor. There's no requirement for b'chor. Let's say the non-Jew owned like the leg of the animal. Okay. So what do we do to evaluate whether the chiyuv b'chor exists or not? That if I cut off that limb, would it be considered a blemish and therefore pater? Let's say it's possible to cut off that organ or limb that the nachri owned, the non-Jew owns, and it would not possible the b'chor. Then the chiyuv b'chor would exist from the first male animal born from this animal. Let's say someone purchases a fetus that was owned by a non-Jew, or let's say someone sells the fetus of a cow to a non-Jew. Even though you're not supposed to do that, you're pater from the b'chor, but there's no knas, no financial penalty for doing something like this. Let's say someone receives an animal from a non-Jew, lios mitapoba, to let's say take care of it, the havlados benan, and let's say the offspring would be considered from both, o nachri shekiba meyisrael kazeh, or vice versa, the non-Jew getting from the Jew, hari lepaturim in a b'chora. In this case, they're pater from b'chora. Shnemar peta kol rechem bivnei Yisrael, achia kol meyisrael. The whole thing has to belong to a Jew from start to finish. Alagadal am kabel tzomin nachri with mamon katsuv. Let's say a Jew receives animals from a non-Jew, okay, with a fixed price, and they decide together that they would split the profits. Then pichso Yisrael, if it goes down in value, so then the Jew would be responsible for that loss. So even though this is actually owned by the Jew, so to speak, and the animal is considered as if he owns it. Right, but if let's say the non-Jew would not find any other way to collect the debt for what he might owe, he would use these animals to pay off his debt. And then any of the offspring that come from it, he would have responsibility. There'd be like a lien against them, right? And so to speak, the hand of Nachri is in the middle. And therefore, the lach is to be pata from b'chor. So again, in such a case here, the attachment in non-Jew has the animals merely is a minimal financial attachment. Nonetheless, it makes a pata from b'chor. Avav vlade vlados, but let's say the offspring of the offspring, in such a case, chayavin, sherei shal Yisrael, because ultimately they really belong to the Jew. Ve'lo nachri rishos alein, because there's a certain point down the road, if it's the offspring of the offspring, there the non-Jew has no power, so to speak, to hold a lien against them, and therefore it would not be considered pata from b'chor. Let's say a Jew pays money to a non-Jew, and he goes ahead and buys an animal from the non-Jew according to their laws. Let's say he didn't do an actual act of kinyan, like let's say pick up the animal, rather he followed their method of doing it. He's still chayv in b'chor. If a non-Jew brought it from a Jew using their laws, and he gives him money, just a regular financial exchange without any action done to the animal of ownership, kana, it's considered a good kinyan, and therefore the non-Jew, since the non-Jew owns it now, he's at the patur from bringing b'chor exists. Allah above, gershin is gayer. Let's say someone converts, im and we're unsure whether the animal gave birth to the b'chor prior to him converting, or acher shenis gayer, afterwards, or is a b'chor misafik. We consider this a b'chor of safik. Let's say someone purchases an animal from a non-Jew, and you're not sure if the animal had a baby or not. The yolda etzlo, and it does give birth while it's in his possession. This is a suffix b'chor. right? And it should be eaten when it develops a mum by the owners. Ve'inu l'koin, and doesn't go to the koin. Shamoti mechaver olav raya, because as we know, the burden of proof in such a case would be on the other person. Halacha ches, lakach behema minanachri. Let's say you purchase an animal from a non-Jew that is nursing. Okay, eino choshe shema b'nasha l'cheres. We don't assume that the offspring came from someone else. Himenika, that it's nursing a different animal. We assume that it's nursing its own offspring. Even if the one that it's nursing, it looks like from a different species. If it looks like a pig, nonetheless, it's pata from b'chor. So too, an animal, what do you call it? An offspring of an animal that's providing, that's nursing others. Because most animals do not provide milk, unless they already gave birth to an animal. If someone purchases an animal from a Jew, so then we assume the animal did give birth already, unless the seller knows from the seller that didn't happen. Because Yisrael, a Jew, is not going to remain silent. The gormel lechol kachem mechutz. He's not going to cause this other Jew to be over an isser of eating a korban outside of Beit HaMikdash. And therefore, that's why, he would never sell it without any type of qualification as to the status of the animal. Okay, lucky good. Behema daka. Okay, so now we're getting into cases of miscarriages, etc. Let's say you have behema daka, shipila ubar. Let's say you have a small animal that miscarries and there's a fetus that discharges from it. Shadainlin is bar, it's a rasso, that its features have not become distinct. Mini karasakal. Vizeo nekra tinuf. This is called a tinuf. Imam ruharoim ubarhu. Let's say the shepherds say this is a fetus, right? Ella should nifsed at sarasso, but it lost its form. Harizu paturim in a bechora. Bechora. Now the animal is pata from bechora. Vitzarach larasso l'roi chacham. You have to show it to a knowledgeable shepherd. The vikach, therefore, alokech mehima mina nachri. So if I purchase an animal from a non-Jew, afilo haisa katana, even if it's very small, the yalda etzlo, besokshna, sign it gives birth to him while it's in his possession during the first year. Harizu safik bechor. Right? It's a subject before why. Shematino fipila b'rishos anachri. Because maybe when the animal was in the rishos, in the domain of the non-Jew, it gave birth to this tinof. V'chemehemagasa. Now, when a large animal, shipila shilya, that let's say discharges a placenta, harezes simon vlad, this is considered a sign that it had a fetus inside. Shrei shalya below vlad, you never have a placenta without a fetus attached to it. The niftra min b'chora. Now the animal's pata from b'chora. Umurta lahashe kosal shalya klavim. You can feed the placenta to the dogs. Shemis kadosh b'vachora ela zachar, because the only thing that is that's sanctified by a b'chor is male, is something that's male. The cheses al nodim anuladim mechza zacharim mechzas nekevos. But what we say is in general that we say the chazaka is of those that are born half male, half female. Uvar b'yonor shezachar sheimbo mixas simana imo. We've already explained that male animals that don't have all have few of the simanim of the signs of their mother inu miskadosh b'vachora. Are not considered a bechor. V'nimsa miut hanoladin, but if it's a smaller amount, hein hamiskachim bechorah. Those are the ones that are miskachim bechorah. Ben choshen lemiut. We're not concerned by that which is excluded. Aval behemas kachim shipila shalayot tikaver. Let's say the animal is actually hekdash already. If I have an animal that is consecrated for the mikdash and it discharges the placenta, we bury the placenta. We treat the placenta as being kodesh. Alach yidal behema gasa shipila chararos dam. Let's say a large animal discharges a stream of blood. The animal is now pata from b'chor. We assume there was a fetus inside. Bravo lava dam, and the blood, there's a lot of blood, v'sida, and that's why he lost it. Butler. The korban chara zu, we actually bury this flow of blood. Kamo nifel mi b'choras, just like if it was a stillborn b'chor. Even though the chara, this flow of blood itself, is not considered consecrated. Lama kovr mosa. So why do we actually bury it then? To let people know that this animal from now on is pater from b'chor. Lachy beis kvar b'yarno. Rama has already explained. Binyan nida by the area of nida shavlad ba'adam nigmar l'arbarim yom. So we've already established nichos nida that the human fetus right takes 40 days to develop. Damapelas apachas arbarim ino vlad. And any discharge or miscarriage before 40 days is not considered a child. Avavlad behema, but when it comes to the children of an offspring of an animal, they didn't come to a conclusion as to the amount of days it takes for the animal to develop inside to be considered a fetus. Rather, they said shemapelas tinuf, right? That an animal that discharges a tinuf in a misaveris acharav does not become pregnant afterwards. Lomakabelas vlad achar lepachos mishloshim yom. and will not become, it will not become pregnant, nor does it carry another fetus after 30 days. That's the most they had to say about the fetus embryology in animals. So let's say an animal, left, so to speak, your domain pregnant, and came back empty, meaning no longer pregnant. So an animal gives birth to afterwards, we call b'chor misafek. Why? Because maybe it, what was inside that it discharged was something that would not make you pater from b'chor. And in general, a fetus that is miscarried is not considered to have opened up, so to speak, the womb of its mother, unless its head was the size of the top of a needle that's used in what do you call weaving. Halacha Dalet, mevacheres hamaksha leled. Okay, so let's say an animal is having a difficult time giving birth. Mechasech ever, right? So let's say the offspring, when it comes out, can be cut up limb by limb, umashlech lovim, and that can be fed to the dogs, baba achra b'chor. And then the animal afterwards it comes out will be considered a b'chor. Yotza rubo. Now let's say most of the fetus emerges at once. Areza yikaver, you bury it, v'nifram in the b'chor. Now the animal's put from b'chor. Vimchasech ever, let's say you cut off a limb. Vinicho ever, right? Vinicho, and you kept doing it. Vinicho achahishlim rubo. And you cut off another limb until most of the fetus has been completed. Then most of the, excuse me, all the limbs require burial. V'niftra mina b'chora, it's now the animal's pata from b'chora. Kemet sheyatza rubo bein shalom bein mechusach. So since the majority came out, whether it was whole or whether it came out piece by piece, very lufaneno niskada shem afreya. And therefore we say it's been consecrated, it's been hektish retroactively. Alach tezvav, yatza shlish. Let's say a third of the fetus comes out, umachol anachri, and let's say it's sold to a non-Jew. The yatsa, the chaz of yatsa shlish acher, and then another third came out. The skadish of mafreya, nifter min b'chora. It's considered miskadish retroactively, and it's pata from b'chora. Yatsa shlish derech dofan. Let's say a third came out using a C-section. Ushnei shlishim derech rechem, but the other two thirds through the womb. Eino kadosh. It's not considered consecrated. Sharov rishon harishon lo yatsa derech rechem, because the majority of the first did not come out through the womb. Umafreyu miskadish, and which would have made it miskadish hektish retroactively. Alach dezayin yatsa miot ever gadol. Let's say what it called the lesser part of one large limb comes out. Vareze hayotze rubo shel ubar, right? And together with the that comes out together with most of the fetus. Niftar mina b'chora, it's pata from b'chora v'yikaver yotze, and you have to bury that which has been discharged. Yotze chatzia ubar v'rubo shel eiver. Let's say only half the fetus comes out together with the large portion of a limb. Hayotze hayotze hareze safek niftar mina b'chora olo. Niftara, so we're not sure or not if this is a b'chor. The v'ikach b'achar suffik b'chor. That's why whatever comes afterwards would be considered a case of suffik b'chor. Halachi Zion, b'chor sher karko b'siv. So let's say, the b'chor comes out and it's wrapped in some type of fibrous substance, v'lcio, and it comes out, v'lo noga b'rechem, and it never actually touches the womb. O sher karko b'shulyas b'him acheres. So let's say it was wrapped up in a placenta from another animal. O sher nichacha lov achoso. Or let's say, it was wound up with a twin sister, right? V'yotza, v'hol v'lo naga b'rechem. In these cases, if it never touched the womb, v'gomakam raise a suffik b'chor. It's considered a suffik b'chor. Halachid ches, hidbik shnei rechemim zelazeh. Let's say someone attached two wombs together of two different animals. V'yotza v'zeh v'nechna zezeh. And basically, it emerged from one womb and then went into the other womb. Raise a suffik in nifter min b'chorah b'hemash nechnas b'chor shrei peta rechem. Olin t'rach yifter rachman b'lada. So it's unsure whether or not the animal that had the b'chor go into its womb is considered to be pater from b'chor or not. Niftechu kosle beis arechem. So let's say once the walls of the womb of the mother open up, the yatsa and discharge, areis safek in the gias rechem mikadeshes o avira. So then the question becomes, does the thing become kodesh because it touched the walls of the womb? Or simply, if it's very wide and it's in there but never actually touches the womb, is the air, the space of the mother's womb, enough to create hektesh? We see that by klishares, that the Arabic Lisharis can create something that's be hektish. Allah chaf, nagru kosli beis arechem. Let's say the walls of the mother's womb are removed, the nasu b'tzavaro, and they're suspended around the neck of the fetus. Harei zesafik, imen komo makadesh, or makadesh afchotzim komo. So we're not sure if it's a hektish in the place that it's in, or even what it called, even if it would be hektish if it's not in its place. Finally, Allah chaf aleph, Nigamu kosli beis rechem in a kaddish, right? Let's say the skin and the muscle that supports the womb starts to break down, right? Then anything that comes out is not considered hektish. Nifrat miksaso, the omen ruba alaparas. Now, let's say the walls of the of the walls of the inside are partially ripped up, ripped open, but what do you call it? But the part that remains is greater. V'yatza derech haparet, but it comes out the ripped side. O shahaya paretz ruba lo made, or the ripped part is greater than the part that's in place. V'yatza derech omed, and it goes out by the place that's still in place. Arei suffik b'chor. In both these cases, it's a suffik whether the animal is a b'chor or not. That ends Parak Dalet, and we'll pick up Parak Hay tomorrow.